Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Whether you're a longtime patient or you're just getting acquainted with this incredible plant, Curaleaf of Pennsylvania is honored to guide you along your medical marijuana journey. Visit us soon at our new State College location.
This is the Blue White Breakdown, the premier podcast for all things Penn State football.
Talk about culture. It's something that should show up in every aspect of your program.
It's the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live. Here are your hosts, Bob Flounders and Daniel Gallen.
Welcome to today's episode of the Blue White Breakdown, Penn Live's Penn State football podcast. I'm Daniel Gallen, and we have a little bit of a different midweek episode for you. Bob Flounders is off this week, so I'm joined by Joe Hermit, our longtime Penn Live Patriot News photographer, who's I think just about seen it all and captured it all during his time on the Penn State beat. Joe, how are you doing today?
Doing all right, Daniel. This is the true definition of the B team, but we'll struggle through it.
It's a big day for your Blue White Breakdown debut. It's probably overdue.
We'll see about that.
Before we go any further, just a reminder, you can get the Blue White Breakdown anywhere you get your podcasts: Apple, Google, Amazon, Spotify, Stitcher, Overcast, etc. You can watch us on YouTube, and obviously you can visit pennlive.com/PennStateFootball for all your coverage needs this spring and beyond. Speaking of our site, Joe uploaded a couple photo galleries from the Under Armour Next Camp, Calvert Hall in Towson from last weekend. So I figured we could start there, talk about some of the things that we saw, some of the players that we saw. It was a cold day. It was a long day. But Joe, what were some of your takeaways from getting to see these class of 22, 23, 24, 25 guys in that camp setting?
The Under Armour camp is pretty cool. I mean, I'm sure a lot of fans have heard about it, but they're not really familiar with it. I know I wasn't really how it worked. It's kind of like a mini NFL combine kind of thing. You know, they measure them, you know, height, weight, reach, 40-yard dash, you know, three cone drills, all this kind of stuff. And then they break off into their individual workouts depending on their positions. So you kind of get a chance to see, although there is so much going on, it's hard to follow one guy in particular, because there's like 200 athletes there, you know. But you kind of get a chance to see these guys running through different agility courses and go one-on-one against some of the other top guys, prospects, on the other side of the ball. One thing that really stood out to me, I mean, guys kind of like meet the eye test, you know, so to speak, when you see them. And the offensive lineman that's committed to Penn State that you wrote about a couple times, Anthony Donka, he really looks the part, you know. I mean, he's as physically imposing as anyone that I can remember coming into Penn State, you know, and he's still got another year before he's going to be even getting there, right? Probably looks more the part than some of the guys that they've had there the last few years, unfortunately. I don't know. What'd you think? What'd you think about him?
Yeah, I think the one thing that stood out to me a lot was when they were lined up for the one-on-ones, where they had the five offensive linemen across, and he was bigger than a lot of the guys that he was lined up next to, bigger than a lot of the guys that were lined up across from him on the defensive line. He had a good quote when I was talking to him, where he said that he was glad that he got beat a couple times. He was going up against Mason Robinson from McDonough, who is another pretty highly rated Penn State target in the class of 2023. And Robinson got the best of him a couple times, but Donka had pretty good humor about it and said that he was glad he got beat because now he can go back and figure it out moving forward. But he definitely does look the part. I mean, standing next to him, mean, he's listed at 6'5", 310, and I'm pretty bad at gauging heights, but just kind of from my 5'8 and 3/4 perspective, I mean, he looked 6'5", he looked 310. The length was really there, and you can kind of see that there's something there for Penn State to mold. And you look at some of the guys that Penn State has in this class, especially the offensive linemen, it's kind of a lot of bigger bodied guys that you expect them to be able to come in and really mold and really develop once they get on campus. So it'll be interesting. And I think Anthony Donko has a good base for when he ultimately arrives here.
Yeah. And he's got the build as well. He's big and athletic, and like he just looks the part, you know, like going through the drills and you know, he's fluid. I was impressed. I was really impressed by him.
Yeah, I would be very curious as to what his measurements were. Kind of like what you talked about with the setup of the camp. I thought it was interesting because obviously everyone has seen kind of the combine drills. Like everyone has seen someone run a 40. Everyone's seen someone run a 3-cone. But at the NFL Combine, all of the measurement stuff happens behind the scenes, and they just give you those numbers. So the fact that they were doing it out in the open for us, and I think you captured this in your gallery pretty well, we're even measuring the hand size, the wingspan, the arm length, pretty much every single detail you could imagine with these guys. I think that I would be very curious as to where Donko kind of checked in terms of the length, you know, wingspan, arm length, because when you're an offensive tackle, I mean, that's pretty important. You have to keep those guys out on the edge. You're going to be going up against a lot of guys that have a lot of length and athleticism. And so I thought that was pretty interesting too. And, you know, who knows if we'll ever get those numbers, but it was, I was very curious as to that. And in terms of passing the eye test, I mean, the arms, that's a good place to start.
You know, someone that Penn State fans can certainly look forward to seeing on campus, a spot that they traditionally haven't done particularly well, especially the last few years. And, you know, hopefully this kid can come in and change that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And speaking of looking the part, I think someone that stood out to us, there's not a lot of buzz for him in Penn State. I think he's probably looking at more SEC schools, was Sidier Mitchell, defensive lineman from Bergen Catholic, 6'5", 350, 4-star in the composite. I think he's worth mentioning just because in that setting, he really stood out. I mean, every time I looked up, he was going through a drill and moving very well for someone that size. And he looked like he knew what he was doing.
He was, at times looked like a man amongst boys, which is saying a lot in a situation like that where, you know, you've got the top prospects from the Mid-Atlantic region. You know, he was always the first guy to run through the drills, which I think they planned it that way because it almost was like showing a lot of the other players that were behind him, like how to do it kind of thing, you know, and he would just, the coach would be like, all right, we're going to do this, all right, you know, all right, you go first. And bam, he would just go through it, or, you know, and then some other guys would go through and have to do it again because he was really impressive. He looked like he was already in college, you know, he, like you said, like a 6'5", 350 or something like that.
Yeah, like the footwork too was just pretty amazing. Like I felt like he moved like someone who was maybe 250 pounds in terms of getting through the agility, getting around the edge. I was kind of surprised when after the fact, when I looked them up, I think 24/7 has him as a 3-star in their house rankings. And in the composite, he was, I think he was around 300. I think he might have been in the top 300, but I was kind of surprised by that because, yeah, number 231 nationally in the composite, he was someone where I was like, okay, like even if he doesn't end up at Penn State, even if Penn State doesn't even really factor into his recruitment, like this is someone I saw, comes from a proven program like Bergen Catholic, I'm gonna keep this name in mind moving forward.
He looked like one of those SEC linemen, you know, that you're watching the championship games, you know, like just disrupting. But yeah, I know he's got offers from all over and will probably end up down there, but he was really impressive. Definitely met the eye test like we mentioned earlier, you know.
One other guy who stood out that is a little bit newly relevant for Penn State fans, the offensive line MVP from Damatha. I'm going to butcher the name. Oluwatosin Babalade, I think. His Twitter handle is Big Tree, and they were calling him Tree. And I think that was pretty apt. He picked up a Penn State offer on Tuesday. He was the offensive line MVP at the Under Armour camp, 6'5", 296, 3-star in the composite. Obviously, that's probably going to go up. The people running the camp spoke very highly of him. And so that, I think that that's a name for Penn State fans to keep an eye on, even though there's already four offensive linemen in the class right now. Penn State, I think, is going to try to add as many as they can, especially someone coming from a program like Damatha, where Penn State has had success. And that's a program that has really churned out guys who are ready for this level. I think that that's someone who's worth watching. I don't know if he caught your eye at all, but that was just something I saw on Twitter yesterday that I think is definitely worth pointing out.
Unfortunately, didn't get to see a lot of him, but hey, you can never have enough offensive linemen, right?
He's got to throw a bunch of darts at the board and hope one hits the bullseye, and then you're in good shape. And then one last guy to talk about from last weekend, 5-star Emilio Agard from St. Joe's Prep. He tweeted that he'll be on campus this weekend. He's class of 2024. He visited for the whiteout last year, number 22 player in the class of 2024. Penn State hasn't gotten a player out of St. Joe's Prep since John Reed. Obviously, that's one of the top programs in the state. So I think that's a name to know. He was a defensive back MVP at the Under Armour camp. It was hard to miss wearing an all red, bright red sweatsuit underneath his jersey and shorts. And yeah, he was someone too where, you know, he's only a sophomore and you can just kind of, you could see, you know, the skills there. And obviously cornerback is a position where you can come in, and if you're athletic, you can play early and you can really make some things happen.
Two things. I had no idea he was only a sophomore. That's pretty stunning to me. I thought he was a senior just by the look of him. And second, you have to have a lot of confidence and swagger to pull off an outfit that like he was wearing. Maybe I'll try and throw up a photo in the video here to show everybody. All red, like bright red sweatpants, sweatshirt. Yeah. Yeah. No, he's another guy, you know, I mean, just looks the part. He's tall. He's long. He's already a good size, but you know, he'll be putting some weight on that, on his frame. He's a little thin, but I'm not too thin, but he's got two more years, right? To put three more years to put more weight on, but very athletic, very long. And we'll be playing great competition throughout high school, 'cause that's, you know, that's a great league down there. So yeah, he's definitely a guy to keep an eye on.
I think he also got away with wearing Nike cleats on the field.
Did he really?
I think his bright green cleats were Nike.
Man, those cleats, I know they were giving them away, but it's a good thing they were giving them away, because man, those things were ugly. I don't know. Maybe kids like those. I don't know.
Oh man. It was interesting too, because they were testing out some gear. So at the end of when each position group would finish, they'd pull aside a group of guys that they had wearing a certain type of cleats and kind of pull them on that. So it's one of those things where it's a symbiotic relationship where Under Armour can get some feedback, some R&D, and these kids can get some exposure. But with Agard, he's going to be one to watch. Kind of like you said, I mean, he's going to be playing great competition. Already looks the part. Recently got offers from Notre Dame, Wisconsin, and Georgia. So that's going to be another national recruitment out of 17th and Girard in Philly.
This is the Blue White Breakdown.
Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Whether you're a longtime patient or you're just getting acquainted with this incredible plant, Curaleaf of Pennsylvania is honored to guide you along your medical marijuana journey. Have questions? Visit us at Curaleaf.com or stop in to see us at any of our locations, including our new State College dispensary located at 1248 South Atherton Street. Let's talk medical marijuana and let our confidence become yours.
Switching gears to right now, it's one late Wednesday morning. Penn State has a practice later today. But we've gotten to see Penn State practice twice so far this year. And obviously, I'm on the sideline. I'm kind of taking in the big picture of things. Obviously, that involves a lot of watching the quarterbacks right now, because that's a pretty interesting thing. But Joe, you can really focus in closely on individual players and seeing, you know, guys at different positions going through drills as you kind of make your way through. So who's kind of stood out to you when, you know, when you're going back through your photos after practice or as you're shooting that, oh, wow, this guy looks physically imposing or he's really doing something that that stands out to you?
We get to go to practice for about 15, 20 minutes when we're there. So, and the time that we're there is usually drill time. It's not when they're doing one-on-ones or anything like that. It's individual drills. Because of the, just the layout and everything, I'm usually concentrating more on offense than defense, just because of where they're located on the field and where we're allowed to go. But so I've seen a lot of the offense and, I was really impressed by, you know, a couple of the incoming freshmen, Caden Saunders and Amari Evans. I mean, those guys just look so athletic and so fluid. I hate to say it again because we've said this several times today, but they just look the part, you know. You know, certain guys just carry a kind of confidence and swagger. I mean, and not cockiness or anything. I mean, just the way they carry themselves, you can see that they're confident. And I think that has a lot to do with it, especially when you're an incoming freshman at a program like Penn State, playing a position like wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Those guys just really have stood out to me with their athleticism. You know, I've been trying and a guy who's already been there, Malik Mega, he looks really good too. I think he's a guy that could have a breakout season. Mm-hmm. You know, we showed flashes last year, but he's just got all the intangibles, you know, the size, the speed, the hands, you know, and again, I think he, just watching him, just feels like he's ready to take that next step.
It was really interesting last week when we were in there for those special teams drills, the punt coverage where they had Mega lined up as a gunner on the outside and 6'4", 200 with that speed going down the field. I think that was kind of an opportunity for him just to show off that speed, show off kind of those raw tools. And that was pretty impressive to me. Omari Evans is a really interesting case this year. Obviously, Caden Saunders was the first commit in the class. He's a 4-star, top 100 recruit. The expectation is that he can come in and he can contribute early and make some things happen with the ball in his hands. But you know, Evans is from Texas. He committed before the Indiana game in October. He's a burner. He's got 4.3 speed, but he was a high school quarterback for a run-heavy program. So he is kind of an interesting kind of learning curve, I guess. And I think he's someone who came up and worked out for the Penn State staff. And that's kind of what helped him get this offer and helped him end up here at campus. And I think that it'll be really interesting to see just with that kind of pure speed, if that can get him onto the field, because Penn State didn't really have that last year. Obviously, Dotson and Keandre Lambert-Smith both, you know, have some good straight line speed, but Dotson, you needed him to do kind of everything in the offense, and Lambert-Smith is kind of taking those slow steps forward in his development. But you know, if Evans can find his way onto the field, just on the outside, someone who can come in, take the top off the defense, open it up for Saunders, for Parker Washington, who I think will have a big year, and the tight ends, I think that could be a really interesting dynamic that Penn State hasn't really had since KJ Hamler.
Yeah, and I mean, he could be a guy that could be used on special teams too, punt returning. You know, oftentimes you'll see a young guy like that break in, go on that route. Kind of a good way to get their feet wet and, you know, get on the field. And those guys just really look good. The running backs, you know, we just haven't really seen a lot of, we've just seen some basic like ball security drills and things like that. So it's kind of, it's been a little more difficult to get a read on Nick Singleton, but you know, he's a guy that just looks, I can't wait to see him actually in live drills or, you know,
it's definitely like that season opener at Purdue can't come soon enough with some of these guys. Cause Wilson.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to the blue white game. I know like a lot of people that are like, oh, I hate the blue white game. But I mean, I'd like to see, cause I think it's an opportunity for guys like this, like we're talking about, to show what they've got.
Yeah, it'll be a chance for us to put kind of these 17 and 18 year olds side by side with the 21, 22, 23 year olds and kind of see where they,
or 24, 25 year olds.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The 24 year old quarterback, and kind of see where they really do stand up. So I think that that's kind of the blue white game is, I think 2 weeks from, 2 weeks from Saturday. So
coming up. Yeah.
April 23rd.
Coming up fast.
It's going to be a big day on the calendar.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually looking forward to it just to see that, like I said, to see these guys, you know, you, usually it's kind of like, but now that you have more influx of these early enrollees, like the blue white game used to be like, you know, you'd see a lot of guys that you would never see again. But now, you know, with these early enrollees and the younger guys playing earlier in their careers, you know, you get a chance to preview, you see some of these guys, you know? Yeah, I'm excited about it.
And I think that James Franklin and Penn State kind of know and use this as a real opportunity to kind of introduce these guys, to put them out there and let them be seen.
Yeah, I know, like last year we didn't have a traditional blue-white game. We had more open, it was like an open practice, two open practices at Beaver Stadium. They played situational football where it wasn't the whole game, but, you know, offense, defense, and, you know, a couple of guys that were new to the system that really stood out last year to me were that, you know, the Kings. I was really impressed by both of those guys in that format. And those are two guys that I think maybe they share, give them a chance to step up. In real games.
You know? Yeah, I think both of them are going to be guys that are going to have the opportunity to start this year. I mean, Kobe King is competing with Tyler Elsden for that middle linebacker spot. And then you have to replace Tariq Castro Fields. And that's Johnny Dixon, Kalen King, opposite Joey Porter Jr. And it's a thing, too, where maybe not as much with linebacker because of how kind of deliberate Penn State seems to be with how and when they play guys at that spot. But we really saw them rotate through cornerbacks last year. So I think we're going to see a lot of Kalen King this year and Kobe King. And, you know, I think we've heard so many great things about Kalen King that it is going to be really interesting to see what Kobe King can do, what he can bring to the table and how he stacks up in kind of that blue white game environment. You know, to wrap up now, let's talk about you. Let's talk about some of those, photos that we've got behind you.
Get out of the way. Everybody wants to look at that. Not me.
I guess just kind of to, you know, do like a 10,000 foot view, of, you know, being a photographer and covering Penn State for so long. You know, what are some of your favorite memories from these past couple years, of shooting games? Obviously last year we had snow game at Michigan State, kind of a weird, cool environment at Iowa. What's kind of stood out to you over these past couple of years of shooting Penn State and kind of getting to see some of these players come through?
Yeah, we've gotten through. I mean, the last 2 years have just been really strange. You know, we went from the COVID year where we were in empty stadiums in the stands, which was just the most bizarre thing, especially being at, I remember, you know, going out to Michigan and being in the big house in the stands, you know, a handful of photographers and some family members, you know, it was eerie. And the same thing with Beaver Stadium. You know, I remember the Ohio State game, which was supposed to be the whiteout. It's just so surreal, you know? And then, I mean, I thought one of the highlights, one of the more enjoyable games that I can remember in a long time was the Auburn game, because it was kind of like the return of the whiteout and the big crowd that wasn't the first home game, but it was the first big home game and the first whiteout. It was just a really good game between two really good teams. And it just felt, kind of like, you know, we were back. That was a lot of fun. The Iowa game you mentioned was, but I have mixed emotions about that. It was, I've always liked going to Iowa, and I've always told people that. I always felt it was the most underrated place in the Big Ten. The stadium, it's a cool old stadium where, like, you know, was that the first time you've been at Kinnick?
That was the second time. I'd been there in 2015 for a Maryland game.
It's old and it's kind of was built before the current building codes where, you know, everybody's kind of like right on top of you now. And like, you know, you walk behind the bench and the fans are like right here, you know, so you're like squeezing behind the bench, walking sideways. And a couple events at Iowa kind of turned a lot of Penn State fans against Iowa. So, I mean, I don't really tell people that they should go to Iowa anymore. we all remember that. And plus I ended up getting COVID at Iowa, which was, I guess it was very opportune in the sense that there was a bye week the following week. So I didn't miss any games, you know, but I was sick as a dog for about 10 days, you know, cause they had us crowded. There was about 50 photographers in the photo room, probably built for 30. I was coming back and I was like, oh, yeah, I feel pretty good. You know, I can shoot the next game. And, you know, it's only Illinois. Not going to be a tough game, you know. I mean, even if I'm not feeling 100% energy wise, I could fudge it through Illinois, right? Well, 9 overtimes later, back and forth and back and forth between every possession, it was an adventure to say the least.
I remember you telling me about because I missed the Iowa game, but the back and forth because it's not like. The old overtime where, okay, you have some time to sit. It's just like that, which I don't think is something that people really thought about before we had a 9 overtime game as another dimension to things.
Yeah, literally running because there are no TV timeouts or anything. So you're running from one end to the other and then trying to catch your breath and then they're starting to play and you're like, okay. And then neither team scores and you have to run all the way back to the other and do it all over again, like 7 times, I guess it was, you know, because the first 2, I guess, were the more traditional ones. I can't even remember, honestly. Yeah, that was a bit rough. But I think, you know, even though Penn State lost the Michigan State game, it's still going to be, I think, one of those games that's memorable to fans. Just because, you know, that's the first, I've been doing this since 2000 with Penn State, so 22 years. That's the first like snowstorm blizzard game that we've had in all that time. You would expect that we've had flurries and things like that in the past, but nothing like that before. So that was a really unique situation and it was a lot of fun. I mean, I had a blast. It's a challenge to stay dry. I mean, keep your equipment dry mainly. I mean, I don't really mind if I get wet, but the equipment's the thing, but you know, if you're prepared for it, it was just fun, you know, it was just a different environment and it was like a party out there, you know, like people, well, of course Michigan State won, but it was just a really cool environment. And you can always count on Michigan State for some kind of weather because in 20 years, you know, I guess I've been there like 10 or 11 times and I've never had just a regular, like normal sunny day. Or cloudy day, even it's always either raining or freezing rain or snowstorm this time or something. You know, it's like the worst weather in the Big Ten.
there's always something that's going to happen when you're at Michigan State for better or worse, and
it's usually not good.
Oh man! Well, thanks for coming on today, Joe. It was great to change it up, and I hope all of our Blue White Breakdown listeners appreciated it. You can follow along with Joe's Penn State coverage on Twitter. He's at Joe Hermit. Check Penn State or PennLive.com/PennStateFootball for all his photo galleries. Obviously, you can follow me at Daniel JT Gallen. You can subscribe to the Blue White Breakdown on Apple, Google, Amazon, Stitcher, Spotify, etc., wherever you get your podcasts. And I'll be back later with Dustin Hawkinsmith for another episode this week. And for Joe and Mojo, we'll talk to you guys soon.
This has been the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live.